fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Turn your tax refund into a new kitchen with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles and finishes with free shipping to your home. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go to Menards.com for free estimates today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for all of our hot deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Yeah, you know what, KD and Laughingstock, Nathan's got that voice. In this crazy world, we gotta make a choice. They say our logic's squishy, but we're making noise. When the top of the charts hit, the people rejoice. Stop being buck munchers, just get swishy with us. Join the laughter wave, make a fuss. Stop being buck munchers, just get swishy with us. Join the laughter wave, make a fuss.
That's when I decided, I've had enough of this. I'm just going to slap him really hard in the testicles.
And how much poop came out of him when you did that?
Oh, loads. Joe Rogan eats a lot, apparently.
It's the natural body's defence, so when you get hit really hard there, stuff shoots out.
Shoots right out. And it was my first judo lesson. I wasn't going to let him make me look like a bitch.
Yeah, well, you shouldn't have done it naked.
What? He insisted.
Yeah, I won. Oh, hello, everybody.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm poking into your stream a bit down.
That's all right. He's crossing the stream.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode. Oh, Squishy Logic.
Very nice.
I don't know why I'm talking in this candor, but I'm going to continue. Yeah. I am your comedic babyface, everybody's favourite, KD Hinken, joined us all by my man on the left, or on the right on the screen. No, it's the left because I can't look, but tell him your name.
My name is Nathan Parrish. I'm the man of a thousand voices, and not all of them are in my head.
Yeet.
There we go. Did that real quick. That was like a fucking record time for us to get that out. Jesus.
You know, I noticed that you decided to do something, so I was going to take this moment to get the intro right in.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, I appreciate that. We're rocking today.
Welcome, everybody. But today, just so you know, before we get on to all the stuff, we are going to be talking today about the life of the most infamous criminal in, definitely in UK history, in UK now anyway, definitely modern history.
Yeah. Charles most Bronson. Infamous living criminal by
yeah,
far.
Yeah, definitely.
If you don't take into like Dick Turpin or Robin Hood and shit like that. Then
I don't think they're living anymore.
No, definitely not.
You mean ever to live.
And some of those stories aren't quite as gleaming as they seem on the front anyway.
For Charles Bronson?
Well, for any of them, really.
No, most criminals don't have good stories.
No.
Weirdly enough.
Really not. Although I was thinking about this, literally, I was thinking about Bronson the other day, and I was really like, as soon as you mentioned it,
I hadn't mentioned it.
Mentioned it at all, but I was thinking about him literally like yesterday, and thinking like at some point we should do a podcast on Bronson, and then I realized, you know what we should also do? We should also do a podcast on Chopper.
That's the
Australian version, yeah, basically.
Yeah. There's a film on him as well, ain't there?
There is, but yeah, Eric Banner plays him. And what we should really do is, you've done Bronson now, I should do Chopper next. Definitely. And then we should do a comparison of the two of, like, you know, who do we reckon?
Well, we could even do that at the end of the Bronson one. In that
Of the Chopper one, I'm into that.
I like that.
There we go.
Yeah, hell yeah.
And what I found interesting as well is I racked my brain trying to think of an American who matched.
I was just thinking that in my head.
The other two.
Manson?
I can't think of one.
Manson?
No, Manson's too dark.
You say, I think Charles Manson's pretty fucking dark.
Don't get me wrong, he's pretty fucking dark, but like,
him and Manson have something in one particular thing in common, though, which most people don't realise about Charles Bronson. I don't think I want to say it yet. Well, I can say it, actually. Oh, I don't know. No, I'm going
to
keep it.
Let it flow naturally, my friend. You don't have to spoil it now.
Okay, yeah, I'll hold it back. But they've got something in common, very much so.
Yeah.
I don't think Chopper has it in common. He might do, I'm not sure. I'll ask you when he gets to it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we'll get to that in a bit, though, anyway. But there's also been... We'll do some wrestling stuff again later, because I've got plenty more things to show you.
Wrestling.
The stupidest moments from wrestling.
I do love me a bit of wrestling
it's
now.
It's wrestling stupid. Literally stuff in the last week I could have put in as well.
I think that may be. We may have inadvertently, like, cast ourselves on the perfect way to start that. Me, I love some wrestling. It's wrestling stupid. Oh,
I didn't even clock onto that.
That's brilliant.
Oh, yeah. But we'll do that at the end, because I know not everybody is into the wrestling, but this is the stupider side of wrestling.
Yeah,
anyway, though.
It's the fun side of wrestling. Even if you don't like wrestling, you should be able to enjoy this kind of wrestling.
You'll probably enjoy it more if you don't like it, to be honest.
Oh, definitely. There's some shit that I've really enjoyed. I enjoyed The Invisible Man versus The Invisible Stan more than I thought I did.
That was amazing.
I was literally listening to us on that podcast the other day, because I have been listening back to a few of them to try and find bits that I think would be good for like little clips out and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was a fun bit, because that's just you just describing what's happening and me just... What? Every few minutes as this fucking non-match, which is somehow more fascinating than most wrestling, is going on in front of our eyes.
I'll tell you why, though, from a serious point with that match, you realise how much the ref does in that match.
Oh, yeah.
Well, in general, because he just does everything that they do in a normal match.
What was amazing?
Just him.
What was amazing to me, though, and I only realised it after re-listening, was that despite the fact that both of the people did not exist and were quote-unquote invisible, everyone knew what they were doing and when. Yeah. And not only that, they knew what the fucking techniques they were using were. And like, oh, they're in the middle of a fucking punch-out or whatever the fuck it is and all this kind of stuff.
I mean, it does show how, you know, like paint-by-numbers wrestling can be.
Oh, yeah.
Because... A lot of the spots are the same because they work so well. Like,
yeah.
The same things that, like, as soon as you see, like, it's hard to explain.
They're trading blows. Yes. That's one of the biggest ones. It's
you
like
know what it
just
is.
Just two men standing in a ring holding onto each other's shoulders, just ripping into each other.
The only thing that would have made it better is if they'd have had, like, somebody under the ring or something actually slapping a thigh or something.
Oh, that would have been good. Hear it. Yeah, that would have been good. That would have been really good. But to be fair, they ended it by breaking a fucking board with nothing. That was the best thing ever.
That was
so good.
I had no idea it ended like that either, because I'd never watched it all the way through.
Oh, man.
I'd heard of it and seen bits, but I'd never watched it all the way through before.
That is such commitment to the bit. It made the entire, like, 10 minutes beforehand totally worth it. It was like, fuck yes. Fuck yes. Oh, wow. Anyway, on to... other things.
You know what I learned about the other day, if you want to learn about something ridiculous?
Yeah,
I learned something existed called dolphin-assisted births.
Oh, God, I know about this, yeah.
I was like, that can't be real.
No, it's a thing.
And then I saw that it was real. I'm like, what?
Idiots like, do that.
Well, I think the article I saw that proved it was real was warning about the dangers of dolphin-assisted
birthing. Yeah, because you don't actually want to have a baby around fucking dolphins.
Because, I mean, I get the logic because they're super smart animals.
Oh, they're smart and they're cute. But they're also rapists and murderers. They will kill
people.
Small animals and things like
that. Yeah, some of them will, surely, because there's got to be some dick ones out there.
Of course there are.
They're not all going to be nice ones.
No, like, have you seen the human species?
Exactly.
There's dicks in the human species. There's dicks in animals as well. We'd be stupid to think that animals don't have personality types just like people.
And as well, considering you're essentially doing it with the prisoners of the dolphin world.
Yeah.
There might be a Charles Bronson there. They're not even, you know, don't get me wrong, they're not doing anything. They're not actually committing crimes to get there. Which probably makes them feel even worse about it, I would argue.
Probably, yeah.
I would feel worse about being in prison if I literally was innocent.
Yeah.
I had no trial. Then they explain
free
to me,
the dolphins.
Like, what is happening? And they're like saying all this weird language. I'm like, just talk dolphinish.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can't do it.
No. Well, because you're not a dolphin.
I heard someone do it on a quiz show the other day. And I was like, that's amazing.
Okay.
You should learn that. Yeah. You should learn some animal impersonation.
Yeah, I can't do it at the moment. I've got too much chest infection-y stuff going on.
I've got too much chest.
Yeah. No. It would just sound like someone trying to start a fucking diesel engine. Yeah.
Have you been watching any of Beast Games? It's come back. You didn't know Beast Games was back.
Oh, I thought you said Obese Games.
Oh, that would be great.
Why aren't I watching that right now? In fact, fuck the Olympics. The Olympics is a piece of shit. What we need is we need every country to get their fattest members together, make them do all of the sports of the Olympics.
Samoa's winning. Yeah. Samoa is winning that for sure.
100%.
They are winning shit out of that, man.
But there's like different categories for wins as well. Mm. There's like all the sports wins.
Yeah.
And then there's who loses the most weight throughout the entire set of the Olympics.
Or maybe your points are decided on how big you are. The biggest people, they put their points.
They've got a handicap in golf. Exactly. So the standard is you've got to be this weight. That's the minimum weight. Yeah, anyone else above that, they get a handicap.
Yeah.
Mate, this is a great idea. Obese Games. Let's fucking get this shit going.
The only issue you will have, though, is you'll have many casualties each games.
Yeah.
You probably need about, the Olympics every 4 years.
Oh, they're going to have a lot of heart attacks.
Well, I'd say you'd need it every 10 years because I think after every games, like a good 30, 40% of them will die.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't mean in the space between, even more than another
10%. No, but then the next fattest gets in line, don't they? No, but you just do it every 4 years, but then the next fattest get in line.
That's true. There might be a way to call them out. Yeah. I mean...
Yeah. No. I mean, yeah. But you are... Don't get me wrong. There's going to be a lot of cardiac arrest.
Well, then you could just have a reality show afterwards. My life after whatever this game is called. Fat Games.
We can get them on the way in and on the way out, like Dana Carvey. Dana Carvey? Dana fucking White.
Oh, like doing that, yeah. And we'll have our own, short and tall comedian.
You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say, too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at rss.com.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With rss.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at rss.com.
To go and interview them when they're concussed as well.
Definitely.
Instead of being concussed, they'll just be perhaps having a heart attack. Yeah.
How's it going down there? How did that go for you? Hey, did you know that aliens are real?
Oh, actually, that brings me perfectly onto what I meant to tell you, actually, a specific one I really meant to tell you today. Going back from one of our old episodes, one of my favourite episodes that we did, to be honest, of definitely probably my favourite alien episode, the Virginia incident. The one in Brazil where... I can't even remember how long ago.
Oh, I do remember that. I do remember that one.
We had that one running around the town and that the girl saw it. Loads of people saw it.
Yeah.
Since then, in that area. Do you remember that the alien was apparently taken to a hospital to have stuff done to it? And there was a video done of it when it was having all the tests done.
Yeah.
And this guy, the guy who originally did that documentary, his name's eluding me now. I should get it while I'm talking, actually.
Yeah.
He's gone back down there, doing more stuff into it. I think there might be a updated film coming out because he's got so much more stuff about it, even though he's already shown it on a podcast. So it's really silly when you guys have, a documentary coming out. They're going to, Joe Rogan or something, end up telling you everything from it, showing loads of clips from it. So it's like, do I really need to watch the documentary anymore?
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me just, moment of contact. I want to get the guy's name.
You know, I've realised again from listening to a few Joe Rogan podcasts, is that I really enjoy listening to it almost because I disagree with Joe Rogan on a few things and with his guests. Like, I don't get me wrong, for the most part, I think I agree with almost everything that most of the people say on there. Because most of because most of the people who go on there aren't fucking genuinely bad people.
Yeah, no, you know? Of course, yeah.
But, like, when I do disagree with someone on what they say on
that James Fox.
Yeah.
That's a guy.
I can disagree with them in a way that I feel sort of makes me feel like I don't know. I think... I'm trying to word this right. By listening to people who you disagree with on a regular basis and not letting it get to you, you do yourself a massive service in the long run. Because you are able to then do it in actual conversations and things like that.
Yeah,
not only that, but by sitting and listening entirely to someone's idea on something which is different from yours, you can actually understand what their point of view is, where they're coming from. Yeah. And in the vast majority of cases, if you do that, you start to sort of not agree with them, but you start to at least
see their point.
Shed light on their point. Yeah,
you should definitely always want to understand the point of somebody else. Yeah.
And the thing is, like, I think after COVID for a bit, I'd got myself into like a bit of an echo chamber of just like things that weren't really challenging me mentally.
Yeah,
not even an echo chamber of just agreement with myself. Just I wasn't looking into going out into other things and being challenged, like. To my morality and my thoughts and my ideas and all that kind of stuff.
I just always, I love being challenged. Like, anytime I say something, like, you challenged me on something in the last podcast, I was like, oh, I like that.
I
like being challenged.
It's good. I like having my brain worked out. And I think that is the best way of working out your brain. Go and listen to someone you disagree with in depth and just listen to it.
How does that relate to the... Is this to do with the aliens?
This is just to do with the Joe Rogan.
Oh, okay.
Because I just think by listening to it again recently, I've started to feel my brain waking up again. Right. It was like it was fucking dormant.
Oh, yeah, because you're not as in agreement as a lot of the stuff with Joe Rogan.
Yeah, I agree with the vast majority, but like, sometimes you'll have a guest on who's talking about this things. Like, I have Matthew McConaughey on, he was talking a lot about God and stuff like that. I'm not a big God guy, but I listened to him and I was like, you know what? I understand where he's coming from on this. I don't think I agree with it still, but I understand what he's saying. Yeah. And that was, it's like your brain's a fucking puzzle. You know what I mean? Like a jigsaw puzzle. But you can't finish the fucking jigsaw puzzle unless you go searching for new pieces. You know, you got to go through the pile, man, and sometimes you're going to come across a piece that you don't want right now.
I think by then the puzzle will
Or for a different anyway. Fucking jigsaw. But you will find the one you need if you keep going and trying to find it. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense. I don't know.
I get what you're saying.
You know what I mean? It's like, it's difficult to talk about because it's beyond like standard operating procedures for most people. I think most people don't want to be challenged, but I think you should.
No, definitely.
I think challenge is the most important thing.
Yeah. A lot of people don't want to, like, you know, you're like, you to even like get to the point of being challenged, you need to like let yourself learn about stuff that's going to annoy you anyway.
Yeah.
Most people don't want to do that.
No.
Which I get, because sometimes I'll just ignore shit for a bit.
I'd rather be informed and annoyed than,
in general,
than 100% ignorant and happy.
Even though we are ignorant, probably, to most shit, it's just they make out. We want to at least know the thing that they're telling us, even if it's not true.
Yeah.
You know. We at least want to know what the lie is.
Yeah.
That's the one I'm thinking of. Yeah, so yeah. I least want to understand the lie so I can...
I don't know against. Why, but it's like, struggle, I think, is healthy. Mental, physical, all kinds.
Well, it depends, because going back to that Virginia incident, struggle wasn't healthy, because... I mean, one, for example, the guy grabbed up the alien and then he got, like, killed by, like, a bacteria and that.
Yeah.
And this was the reason why, like, there was already stuck in the hospital and the guy went back to it, that James Fox guy.
Yeah.
The guy's name now. And basically, he got contact to one of the head, well, basically the head doctor, one of the most respected, probably the most respected doctors in that hospital,
yeah,
because he's actually like the number one neurologist in the world.
Oh, cool.
And it's like, he's getting older now, you know, but yeah, he's still working, like he's still sweet. But he's decided, basically he had some info about that because he worked at that hospital. He was there at the time when it happened. And he agreed to meet this James Fox guy. So yeah, he went back up there and he snuck him into the hospital with the guys through the back. And it's all undocumented. You can see it all happening. Sneaks him in, takes him into the place where it happened and told them what basically... No, yeah, I saw a video, but that doesn't matter because I was there anyway. I spoke and had a conversation with the alien. And there's even like a little thing of him on... Do you want to see the little bit of video of him? Just
yes! Are you okay, fucking kidding me? How did you not think? Yes!
Okay.
Yes, I definitely want to see that.
Turn that up nice and loud.
Holy shit.
Okay, so this is going to be in a different language, though. So, you know what? I might actually mute the audio because there's no point because it's in a different language and I'll read out the subtitles for the people.
Yeah.
We do it that way.
Yeah, do it that way.
Okay, so this is on the Danny Jones podcast. Okay, so this is the fella. I miss his name then. Actually, I'll get his name because it's
yeah,
good for the thingy. Okay, I'll, so here we go. I am Italo Denel Venturelli. I swear that what I will share is the truth and nothing but the truth. He moves the thing in a minute. I've been a doctor for 46 years. In 1996, on January 20th, was called to see a patient. You know, we have to put the thing in because I can't see it.
I realised it was being...
I didn't know it was going to move it then, for fuck's sake. They called me in to see a patient. Getting there, I realised it was a being not of this planet. I was called to give my opinion on the case, assessing it medically. Conscious, no pain, no bleeding, breathing well. Very calm and tranquil, resembling a seven-year-old, pale, no bad odour. The head was large, teardrop-shaped. A small mouth, I don't know that. One hand was under the sheet, the other out. Fondling baby. The eyes weren't red, they were lilac, also teardrop-shaped.
What?
Looking at me very calmly, not agitated, aggressive, or in pain. I think not afraid either.
Right.
He seemed to understand the situation. A beautiful gaze, one without judgment. Twice he looked at me, then to the window, then at me again. I stood about 60 inches from him. I didn't touch, but I was so close. His way of looking suggested an intelligence greater than as than human.
Right.
He understood, despite his defensive position. He was not afraid. He understood what was happening. He likely had some purpose for being there. It's almost finished. The truth is, I am an eyewitness. I saw the being. Say what you want. Joke. Mock. But I saw him lying there in front of me. It is important to highlight that this is not about money. This is about what changes the very concept of humanity. A being from another place. I was called by chance to see another patient and I saw it. It's important for people to know this. Those who say they've seen a spacecraft, we've really seen it. It's not easy to be on camera talking about this. They ask and they ask. It feels like we are lying, having to insist. I have sworn I saw it, and I did. I want the younger generation to believe that this indeed exists. And it's not just him saying it there, because they eventually then got shoved out of the hospital.
Yeah.
He's actually on his way, or coming very soon, to...
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog... If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at rss.com.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With rss.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at rss.com.
Put an ex-Congress hearing thing, he's going to be testifying.
Oh, shit, yeah, there you go.
Like, he is, like, you know...
Like, he's the real deal.
He's the real deal. He's the head neurologist. He's, you know, top of his field. Like, and, you know, he doesn't. He's not getting the money from it. And that. It's like, if he's making it up, it's like, why would he risk destroying his reputation?
Yeah.
Who's going to want their brain operated on by the guy who thinks he spoke to an alien?
Yeah.
You know. That's
a very good point. Yeah. No, it's...
Interesting, isn't it?
It is interesting. And more we're starting to see people, like, saying they've seen something.
Yeah. More and more.
And I think one of the reasons that really why it's happening is because it was legitimised by the UFO hearings with the Air Force people.
Yeah, and the Congress ones. Recently.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, there's been a few Congress hearings lately.
Literally, and they were like, literally, they got actual military servicemen.
Yeah,
like
David
Fraser. Multiple, dozens of them.
Yeah, loads.
Who have all gone like, yeah, I have seen something. And it's not able to be explained by our current understanding of physics. You know, like, I'm travelling, like, Mach 5 in a fucking incredibly advanced jet, and there is something moving at the same speed or faster in the water without causing a ripple.
Yeah, yeah, and they can just shoot off quicker with
a moment notice. And it comes out of the water without causing a splash, and then just, vroom, it's gone.
Well, like you said, it's like every couple of seconds the radar does, or like every second the radar does like a blip,
yeah,
blip, and within one blip, one of the things went from sea level to gone.
Yeah.
And it's like 60,000, however.
Yeah.
So it's like it went at least that many feet per second.
Yeah.
You know.
Which is beyond our capabilities by a significant margin.
I mean, it's interesting, like, that we say, but our capabilities are strange anyway because they're so debated. I understand why people have this, because there's all the moon tour come up again. All the moon tour come up again now, Ender, because of the Artemis 2 mission that's about to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Back on the moon.
No, this ain't going on the moon, this one. The Artemis 2.
It's just going round it.
It's just going round it. Yeah. But it still has to go through the Valhalla radiation thing, surely.
Yeah.
Which is what they always bring up. Because I don't know if you've seen, there's like a 2014, there's like some NASA guy talking about technology. And he's saying, for us to go to this part of space, you know, through the Valhalla radiation belt, where it's called, that technology doesn't exist yet, and we need it before we can go through that region. And it's like, well, you've already gone through it, though, multiple times.
Yeah.
So I understand the confusion.
It's just radiation shielding. It's not that hard.
Which is pretty much
It's not that hard, guys.
Yeah, yeah. I've pretty much gone to the side again where I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty certain now that we did go to the moon.
Yeah.
Because after learning that all the other countries were tracking it too, Russia and that, at the same time, though, they could have been tracking
something
without people in it.
But we have left, like, laser-reflective pads on the moon that you can fire a laser at and you can tell how far away the moon is. And that's how we know that the moon is actually moving away from
it. This is a problem, though. On the each time someone says something like that, though, I'm like, yeah, we could land one of them without going there, though.
Potentially, yeah.
We could do that.
Potentially, yeah. But you would have to have a fully automated system, and the last time we went there was in, like, the 80s.
No, but I mean, like, you know, just we've sent rovers to, like, Mars and shit, innit?
Yeah, but we didn't have the same technology then. We wouldn't have been able
But I mean, like...
an automated rover in the 80s.
No,
we wouldn't have been able to send something that would be able to land, deploy where we need it to be deployed exactly on the moon, also make account of all of the, like, subtleties of where you land it, then place it, then do all the, like, adjustments to get it into the right position. We wouldn't be able to...
Well, no, imagine if it was just, like, the rovers that we have now to drive around there. Imagine if they just landed something and it was just going to land there, stay there, for whatever other reason, yeah. And then afterwards they were like, it will just be left there, and then we can shoot it at there, and it will be a...
But you'd, the problem is...
Yeah, I'm saying, you know, there is an argument there that he could do. Yeah, I'm not saying I believe that.
No, no, I understand that, but just to do the counter-argument,
yeah.
Those mirrors have to be so fucking precisely, like, adjusted to get the reflection back. Because if you're off by even, like, 1/1000th of a degree, it's not going to reflect back in the direction you need it to reflect back to. Like, those things have to be so perfectly put back so that you can then get the bounce off of the thing to where you need it to go.
Yeah, I mean, I know what you're saying, but at the same time, they could just have so many different ones at different angles in the same position. It could be a big, long thing.
Maybe.
There is ways around it.
Maybe, but I think, realistically...
I think we did go as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, realistically, I think... Even if we did
fake stuff, though.
I think, yeah.
100%, that's been proven.
I think if you want to argue that the first one was fake, I think that's, you know, if they want to believe that, that's debatable.
I
still think that we did.
Yeah, I think we might have just lost a lot of the video, though.
Yeah, but, I think that's ultimately what happened, because we'd had fucking...
And pictures.
And also, we were trying to record stuff with no radiation shielding.
Yeah. Yeah.
So all of that film could have just been completely
wiped. That's
what
I'm thinking, yeah. Because we know 100%, it has been proven that they definitely, at the very least, faked one picture.
Right, yeah.
That's, have you seen that? I'm pretty sure we looked at it before.
I think we have, yeah.
There's like a picture of a guy doing a spacewalk, and they take that exact picture and just crop out the background, black out the background. Yeah. Like, there's no way around it. The chances would be crazy.
For it to look exactly the same frame to frame, yeah. But I think we even if you argue against that one, eventually we definitely did.
Yeah, and I just fully understand why people picked it though.
But
as they deleted so much stuff as well since, the technology has apparently been lost.
Well, it's not even that it's been lost. It's just it's fucking expensive, man.
Well, about the way they did it, but I just also think
as well. Yeah, because they were doing it with literally, the old school rockets were just sort of fucking aim and fire.
Yeah, they were just like, with the 70s, they were just a lot more cowboy in it than we want to admit, ain't it?
Like, they had fucking Nazi rocket scientists there who were literally like, well, we've figured out how to fire a rocket from Berlin and have it land exactly in the middle of fucking Trafalgar Square. It's like, okay, I imagine that motherfucker can go, just fire it up there, get the gravity loop and pull it back down.
What do you think, though, about the... So I think they did go, like, especially the first one, all of that. I do think, though, something might have happened up there because...
Oh, why did we keep going for so long and then suddenly stop?
That too, but even just from the first one as well.
Yeah.
Like, Buzz Aldrin, as it's like one... or two interviews about it, and the one interview was only because it was the 50th anniversary or something.
Yeah.
And like Buzz Aldrin, did you know he went on in like 2014 or 2011, something like that, spoke to BBC, I think it was, and actually said that he saw an alien and that.
Yeah.
And that's like the only time he said
about
it.
But what if that's the reason why they kept going back? Because they were finding items and it was like, we're bringing that one back and that one back. What if those, like, you can't have moon rocks. Legally, you're not allowed to own a moon rock.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
They've only given them out very rarely. They're very, very rare occasions. All of the others have stayed. What if they're not fucking rocks?
And from what I've heard, there's no...
What if it's not a rock? What if it's an alloy that they've never seen before?
Oh, no, I mean, they've been testing on moon rocks from what I've heard, because there's no debate that they are moon
100%.
Rocks as well.
No, 100%.
There's no water.
You can bring moon rocks back as well, but what happens if you're sort of like, we're also finding these little bits and stuff, and those are going to be compacted into something that looks like a moon rock, but it's not actually a moon rock.
Well, this same guy that we're talking about here... Well,
that's completely, by the way, I want to admit, that is like wild speculation. That is the most conspiracy theory.
Just a random...
It's just a fun idea.
Yeah. Well, at the same time, though, you know, that's coming from like the moon. We have found them on Earth, like metals from that same guy, which is, what's it called now? It was really into, I think, Patient Zero or something like that.
Right.
It was James Fox, one of his earlier documentaries, a couple before Moment of Contact, where he finds like people that have, like, you know, been abducted and that, say they have, but then like some of them have got like implants in them, the stuff in them. A metal thing, and then the one that I remember had been taken out and been sent to like one of those badass labs to like check it all out, and that they paid loads for it.
Yeah,
And just something like, when we create metals, like we can have like 8 levels of something, the atomic, something about when we put metals together, we can reach like 8 or 10, or something like that.
Yeah.
This one had like 50 levels.
Oof.
And it was like, they've never seen anything like it.
Quite that complex, yeah.
I just don't know how it was made.
Yeah.
They have no idea where it came from. And also, going back to that other one as well, the Virginia one, there's also a video later on where, like, there's a load of them talking from the hospital. Because everyone in the hospital believes him. They trust him.
Yeah.
And a lot of them saw things too, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, if there's other people who live in the area who probably were there at the same time, and they've all heard it.
And there's also the guy as well, though, who worked on the flesh-eating bacteria, the bacteria that the guy got from handling that alien who died from it. He said he'd never seen anything like it and hadn't since.
It could be a nanotech.
I think it might be like an alien bacteria.
No. I was talking the other day.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're an alien
going
to another planet, anything that comes into contact with you could spread a vicious, deadly disease.
Right. Yep.
Right? You have no defense against it because you have not evolved in that area. Yep. Your only solution is nanotechnology.
Mm.
It's a nanobot that will automatically destroy any invading particle or bacteria that tries to get into you. Now, someone comes up and they grab a hold of it.
I think the opposite now.
Those nanotechs are now on that person.
Yeah.
Human beings are up to 75% not human. Right? It's all.
Okay, well, you're going to have to explain that.
It's all gut bacteria, little mice.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
Okay. And other things that live inside your body, including
water?
Including viruses that we've found out recently. We have actual positive viruses living in our body.
What do you mean?
They found this out recently.
Positive viruses.
So there are good viruses. Yeah, good viruses.
That makes sense.
So there's bad viruses like the cold, but we found out recently that there's a natural biome of viruses that live in humans. As we are, and they go around hunting cancer cells.
I mean, that makes sense.
How fucking cool is that?
You know what Ozzy and Drix?
Yeah, no, but like, it's fucking rad as shit.
That just sounds like a new sequel Ozzy and Drix.
Yeah, it does. But like,
that makes perfect sense in the sense that, because I know you've got good bacteria, bad bacteria.
It just makes sense.
So
it does, doesn't it?
I suppose.
But they didn't know it existed. Yeah, they didn't. They didn't realize because they weren't studying it. But like, they're like, shit, we've got friendly viruses. And not only that, but some of these viruses, they know how much bacteria is supposed to be in your gut of a certain kind.
Right.
And if it starts to go over it, it makes more viruses.
That's when it gets bad.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So when the bacteria gets too much, the viruses go, guys, we're having ourselves a field day. Mm. Let's make shitloads of ourselves. And then when it like calms back down again, it slows down.
Okay.
It's mad. It's like we are a living biome, but in the case of this alien, so you've touched this thing, you've got a nanotech bot on you now, and that bot has gone, holy shit, this is 75% fucking deadly. Kill it all.
Yeah.
You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, so he might be thinking of it as bacteria because he's seen the reaction that it's doing to...
To it? So basically he's being torn apart molecularly by nanomachines.
I wonder if he managed to... If he could look at, say, if it was like nanomachines, like duplicating, doing their thing. Like, I'm assuming that's how it would have to work. So, but if he looked at it, could it look like a bacteria if he's not going close enough to it then, maybe?
I mean, you'd have to literally be looking at it with an electron microscope.
You would have done, though.
No, because, like, you'd have a normal microscope, sure.
Okay.
But I don't know if he'd had an electron microscope.
Okay. So this, I mean, this is just it's like the biggest, like, you know, hospital around, but I don't know how big it is and how much
I mean,
they
almost certainly they would have been able to sort of see bacteria and stuff.
But
I don't know if they would have been able to see, you know.
And I guarantee he probably didn't get to keep samples of it. They took that off to probably some army place.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay, moving on to another thing. Have you seen that Candace Owens has gone fucking mental? I finally admit. No, but...
She's always been fucking mental.
I've always thought that, like, there's always something to what she's saying, like the whole thingy being a man, Bridget McQuan.
There's some truth.
The things that I've seen.
A broken clock can be right twice a day.
But now, though, I'm like, I think she's legitimately lost it.
Okay.
She is now... There was a thing where, you know, people have said that she seemed to have a thing against, like, Turning Point for the whole Charlie Kirk thing, and specifically Erica Kirk, Charlie Kirk's wife.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, she's come out now saying that she believes Charlie Kirk believed, she says Charlie Kirk believed that he was a time traveller and an X-Men type character who could, like, as he'd run down the road, light bulbs in the lamps would, you know, beam up and then overload and...
What?
And he was in an X-Men Charles type school for people like him to have that. And do you want to know where she's getting it from? Is because he is coming to her in his dreams, in her dreams.
Oh, God, Jesus Christ.
Well, yeah, she's religious, so that's why she keeps saying she believes it all. Like, she's like...
Oh, my word.
Yeah, it's...
This is...
gone weird. It's gone weird.
I was almost going to say Alex Jones, but Alex Jones didn't go that weird.
No, I've never heard Alex Jones say that.
No, I never heard him go like, it was from a dream.
Like, apparently he's regularly, constantly coming into her dreams, talking to her.
Maybe you're just thinking about it a little bit too much, Candace. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought, maybe just take a fucking break?
Yeah, like, she keeps talking about, she wakes up in the night and it happens that she has to, like, you know, record it all down and tell her partner, wake him up, and I just feel sorry for him and all of this.
Oh, God, yeah, just sleeping, having a lovely time, and then suddenly Candace is just like, hey, wake up, wake up. Oh, God damn, babe, what? What the fuck now? Know, what crazy, did? What it? The fuck did Charlie say now?
Man, it's mental, man.
It's like the 11th time that week. He's just fucking sick of it.
It's been going on a while as well.
Yeah.
Like, she lost it, man.
Oh,
I don't know. He's a time traveler. And he keeps saying as well, look to the left. They did something to the left of me or something. Because I think the idea is that Erica was part of the ones that killed him, Turning Point did and all this. Yeah, man. She needs some assistance, I think. I think Candace needs some help. I'm still open to Bridget being a man.
Well.
Just because of her reaction to it all is more what made me question that Bridget.
Yeah.
I'm like, but you never know. Now I'm like, I don't know. I don't feel like I can trust anything Candace says anymore.
No.
Like, that's like, okay.
That's kind of, yeah, it's tainted a lot of what she's... And I was never a huge fan, but
I wasn't
like...
I'm a huge fan, no, either.
That's beyond.
I find it entertaining when she... I felt like she was a really good journalist. Like, she was really putting in the time and the research, which is, that's the one thing I felt about her. And then this, I was like, oh, okay, that makes me rethink everything I believed in the past. Yeah. Now, you know.
Maybe she was just getting it from dreams.
Yeah. She's had like 6 or 7,
She has a fucking nightmare and she's like, quickly, I have my next news story. Owls are actually aliens.
Did you realise what I did then? Did you see what I did?
Yeah.
I did 6 or 7.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Okay, before we get on to Bronson, have you seen that Windows is fucking up right now?
I mean, is this new?
Well, yeah. Windows 11 had an update.
Yeah.
And that's caused everybody to, apparently, all their computers to shut down constantly. And they're going into damage control, apparently.
Oh. It's a good thing I haven't done my update.
Same. This computer as well. Yeah.
My new ones are Windows 11. I just haven't done the most recent update.
No, don't.
Yeah,
don't do it.
I won't.
Do not do it.
I never do the updates immediately.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
I always postpone the update because you inevitably get a thing come out like the day after where it's like, Windows fucked up the update again. It loses all of your files and cripples your computer. It's like, well, then fucking what?
What a shocker, eh?
Yeah.
Right then, I think it might be time now maybe to get on
to the... Let's get some Bronson.
Yeah, I'm just just going to copy that over to a thingy.
Get Bronsonated.
Mr. Cholsey Bronson. So
not the actor Charles Bronson.
Yeah, we should make that point.
We should make that very clear. We are talking about the UK prisoner Charles Bronson.
I can say actually. Did you say you had seen that film with his that he was in? Tom Hardy.
I haven't seen the film Bronson.
So that is the first thing that I saw it on. That's the first thing I saw of him. So I'm just loading up the document at the same time. The film, that's what I remember from Tom Hardy. Great film. Like, it's a legitimately a really good film.
I just remember that Cat It Off.
The
interview that he does where he's like, oh, I had Bronson on the phone. And he's like, oh, mate, how's it going? He's like, oh, you know. And I thought, I wasn't feeling great.
When Tom Hardy's talking about his combo with him.
Yeah. He's like, you remember that little kid, son? The one who was you know, stuck in the beach off the shores because, you know, they couldn't get his leg out. That wouldn't happen to me. He goes, why wouldn't that happen to you, Bronson? He goes, because I'd tell him, cut it off.
He's such an interesting fucking dude, man.
Yeah. Like, see, that's the thing, mate. No matter how hard it is, sometimes you've got to cut a little bit of yourself off just to survive.
I wonder if there is many like interviews with him. If there's any short, little, quick interviews,
you know, look at old ones.
Oh, there are definitely interviews. Yeah,
just so people can hear his voice. Maybe if anyone's never like really heard much of him, you know, I imagine. Let me pop this on. I think I might have to put a copyright because I saw a BBC.
Yeah,
not that one.
That's the one down there. Yeah, there we go. Giddly go.
Here we go, look.
Especially children and old folks. Now they keep drumming it into the public and I'm a danger. Well, who am I a danger to? I've never been a danger to the public. I love people. Love them. I love the world. I'm not a filthy terrorist or a rapist or a murderer. So who am I dangerous to? How's it? More dangerousness was in the prison, in the asylums. Nearly 50 years of my life in boxes and cages. I want to go home. I'm an artist, born again. I hate violence. I despise it. And that's all.
Okay. That's obviously him.
That's all Bronson.
That's Bronson in his later years.
Yeah.
But that is very far away from the man he was for most of his life.
Unfortunately, yeah.
We will get to that, though, don't you worry. So, yeah. Charles Bronson, original birth name, Michael Gordon Peterson. Not quite as cool, no. Charles Bronson isn't even his name now. We'll get to that, too. 6th of December 1952, he was born in Luton, Bedfordshire, England. Same place as Tommy Robinson.
Oh.
Luton. All the good guys come from there.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at rss.com.
He will eventually go by the names Charles Arthur Salvador.
Yeah.
He has one son. We don't need to get into that. Actually, that's pointless. We'll get to that afterwards, what we're doing. Okay, childhood and youth. For Bronson, currently still going by his birth name of Michael Peterson, early life was not marked by extreme deprivation compared to many long-term offenders. He was raised in a working-class family, described as relatives as quiet but intense, physically strong from a young age, highly competitive, prone to confrontation. His family relocated to Ellesmere Port during his teen, where he struggled with authority and structure, but was not known for extreme violence as a child. Mm. His later violence emerged after incarceration, arguably. Not before it, that's the debate.
Right.
But this is what the official facts say. So his first serious crime was 1974, armed robbery. See? Nothing violent about that.
Yeah.
See? What are we on about here? That's not violent at all.
Excuse me.
You're excused. At age 21, Peterson committed his major first crime. He did an armed robbery of a post office and other robberies.
Right.
He obviously was caught for that one.
Yeah.
Involved a firearm and he was sentenced to 7 years. The original sentence is crucial context. 7 years is what he was supposed to serve.
Right.
Everything that followed came from what happened inside prison, not from escalating crimes on the outside.
Right.
Probably because he didn't get a chance to get on the outside. Much, anyway. So early prison violence, 1975 to 77, notable assault in 75. While incarcerated, he attacked another inmate, used a glass jug that resulted in serious injury. His sentence was extended.
Right.
And that marked the beginning of a pattern where violence committed while already imprisoned led to additional charges.
Right.
There was also then attacks on prison officers throughout the 70s by Peterson / Bronson. Assaulted multiple officers, frequently refused orders, damaged prison property, was repeatedly placed in solitary confinement, and began spending months at a time in segregation, sometimes almost continuously. I get confused about the difference between solitary confinement and segregation. I should have brought one of my buds that have been in there.
Segregation is when you're removed from general population for population safety.
Right.
So they can control you.
But is that not into solitary confinement?
I think it's not quite the same because you're still on a block with other people who've been separated out.
Right.
But you don't share a room.
Right. You're
just, you know, along the block with you. Whilst solitary is you're in a closed fucking environment. There is
either
for in or out.
Other people's safety or your safety.
Yeah.
More likely your at the time, but probably not in this one. So he would eventually then during the late 70s, early 80s, adopt the name Charles Bronson. You don't exactly when, because it's not like he had an official fucking name change, yeah, you know, yeah, just. Reportedly, to project toughness and as a self-created prison persona as a form of rebellion and branding.
Right.
Probably because his behaviour became so performative and violent and symbolic at this point. I think it was just easier to give it a persona. Like when you're on stage, and it's easier sometimes if you have a stage name or something, or you see yourself as a different character on stage. Yes. He was, like, on stage all the time.
Yeah. It does seem a bit like someone who's getting pissed off at the system more than anything else, though.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, definitely. I mean, that's the problem as well with a lot of this stuff about him. There's, like, the facts behind what happened, but because he was in prison through most of it, you don't really know exactly.
Especially because it was a time when, like, CCTV wasn't a common thing. Like, that first prisoner who he got, you know, maybe he was doing something to him beforehand that deserved a glass jug in.
Yeah, probably.
We don't know.
Who was he?
Yeah.
Maybe he was a pedo.
Maybe he was.
Like, who's going to complain about that?
Yeah.
He might be Batman off prison for you.
Yeah. And then he gets, you know, sort of given an extra sentence on top of that. And he's like, what, for removing some fucking, you know, nonce from the fucking prisons? Yeah. I'm the bad guy.
Yeah, you can kill him.
And then all the fucking, you know, officers are like, yeah, but it's not about that, is it? You're a fucking dirtbag. You're still a fucking murderer, all that kind of shit. And then he goes like, oh, you know what? Fuck you motherfuckers too. Yeah. And he starts going after the fucking officers. And then it got, you know, they put him in solitary and then he starts going a bit crazy. And then suddenly he's like, you know what? If you think I'm a fucking animal, I'll be a fucking animal. You know?
This might be the time to make one point, actually. Yeah, now you've said it.
Yeah.
Because the second time it's caught, the thing that he had in common with Charles Manson.
Donnan.
Despite all of this, and he's been in prison like all his life, etc., never killed a single person.
Oh, so the first person didn't die?
Yeah, nobody.
Oh.
Never killed anyone for his whole life up to this point now. He hasn't killed a single person that we know of.
But he's in fucking prison as well. Like, you've got to... surely you've got to accept the fact that, like, someone being in prison is a different fucking environment to the outside world to a certain extent. Like, why are they so desperate to keep him in the prison?
Yeah, That's the debate, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, because, obviously, why? It's because they say that he's too much of a risk to the public. That's why.
But as we know, he was only a risk to the public when he was... There's people who've done far worse shit than this who've been let back out.
Yeah.
There's literal nonces who've been let back out.
I mean... Yeah. it's hard because there's a lot of people I can think of, like, you look at... I'm trying to think of a different example than Tommy Robinson, but that's in my head already.
Yeah.
But you look at, like, you know, the amount of time and the kind of incarceration he had. Like, you know, they if they want to give, if they want to be harder on certain people, they will be.
Yeah, but I don't understand why.
Because they're
in this case, I don't understand.
I reckon because, like, it's like when somebody's trying to escape all the time or, you know, I mean, you know, don't get me wrong, he's not killing people, but, I mean, some of them might want to be. Yeah, he's not. He didn't kill people, but you know, like,
yeah, he fucking hurt
very badly. And later on, he'll do some stuff where it's like, that's fucked. Like, yeah. So I mean, you know, we'll get to it though. You know,
yeah.
This is only early '80s, then. So yeah. So hostage taking begins in the '80s.
Oh God.
Hostage incident of a prison librarian would be the first.
Right.
One of Bronson's most infamous early hostage incidents. He took a prison librarian hostage, barricaded himself, and made bizarre demands, including a helicopter and a ransom involving publicity rather than escape.
What?
Yeah, he didn't even want to go at this point. The incident once again ended with 8 fatalities, but added years to his sentence
right. And
cemented his reputation. He'll also get to the point now, I reckon, too, where it's almost like he's embarrassing the prison.
Yeah.
Because I can't think of any times. I'm pretty sure there's nothing in here about him trying to escape.
It's almost at this point you start wondering, like, if he's trying to keep himself in by just constantly doing stuff that he knows is going to extend his sentence.
Right now, yeah,
what I mean.
I think there's also, you know, definitely by this point as well, there's the whole what's it called, institutionalized. Yeah. Like, you know.
Like, he doesn't understand what he'd do on the outside anymore.
Yeah. I don't know, though, because he does also. I don't know where it is.
It's difficult, though, isn't it? Because a lot of times people can have two, you know, opposing opinions in their head and you get stuck with it. I mean, it could well be that that's what's sort of happening, especially if someone's, like, naturally combative, you know?
Yeah, it's hard as well because he was in prison the whole time trying to get a real idea into his frame of mind and stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I'm just looking here now, like, how many real interviews has been. Like, this is a lot of them are more about him, you know, when you look into them.
I mean, if you go up, there was that short bit.
Short? Which,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's probably going to be easier at any point. Dad pricked me. Oh, let's pop it on for the people.
Yep.
I'll pop that on just in case. That's it. I don't think I need to, I know.
Up outside Gartree Prison in Leicestershire, and I was released as a Category A prisoner. So I wasn't given any form of rehabilitation whatsoever, such as I had no home leave, no parole, no nothing. Now, on the way home, me dad pulled into the cafe on the motorway. Now, I wasn't properly ready for mixing with people. Now, I went to the toilet.
He looked
there was about 7 or 8 people in the toilet. Geezers. Now, I
don't know. I feel like he's pretty turned on still because, slight spoiler, he does go on to become a pretty established author, artist, a few different things.
I mean, he's a...
Maybe he's just high.
Yeah, I don't know. He has a performative air about it.
Yeah, he might be still in his performative point here.
Yeah, this is what I'm thinking. Yeah.
This is his Charles Bronson era, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I was convinced that them people in that toilet was waiting for me.
Paranoia.
Well,
paranoid.
I don't know about paranoid then, but I felt that they was waiting for me. Pretty in a nutshell, I was ill prepared to go out. I wasn't ready. Now, my old dad picked me up.
Yeah, that's interesting straight away. Even that, just getting a bit of a... Let's hear a few of these.
...petitioned to the Home Secretary about coming off Catty, coming out of solitary confinement my last 12 months, and it was all blanked. I wanted to come off Catty. I asked to go to a hostel because I didn't want to come back to prison. Now, my old dad picked me up outside Gartree Prison in Leicestershire, and I was released as a Category A prisoner.
This is the bit we just heard. Isn't it?
Now,
well, it was when it, yeah.
On the way up.
See, even then, straight away, we tried to find two bits, and it was the same.
It's the same bit, yeah.
I don't think there's a lot. That's the bit we looked at before on BBC. quick little look if there's any more. See if that's a different, that might be a different piece.
Meet Charles Salvador.
No, it's not even.
Also knows.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
Fucking videos, fuck that shit.
Oh, wow, look at that. Fight footage.
A prison fucking boxing match.
That's awesome. I do remember reading something about this now.
Fights in a charity bout at Bow's Theatre, East London, helping to raise to help others. This bout sees Charlie.
Read that again. Copyright to Mirage Publishing. There we go. We'll say the copyright to.
Charles Bronson fights in a charity bout at Bow's Theatre, East London, helping to raise to help others. This bout sees Charlie unleash his pent-up anger after being released from prison. Visible on Charlie's back are the words Free Alan Byrne. These have been drawn onto Charlie's back so that he may bring attention to the plight of a fellow prisoner that he left behind.
That's cool.
A cracking right hand
on
Charlie's closes round one.
Jesus, mate.
Damn.
Charlie gets a little too enthusiastic.
Yeah, he was actually...
Keep an eye on the crowd to the
right. I was thinking he was being quite reserved at first, you know. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, he doesn't feel like a crazy madman, and then turn now.
Second fucking round, he goes mental. He goes prison out.
Turns into a nasty gun. What looks like a black mark on the floor.
Oh.
It is, in fact, a gun. As someone's foot catches it, in fact, it's Charlie's foot, you can see its outline.
Shit. There's a gun on the floor, and someone's like, oh, just pick that up.
So as to calm the angry crowd.
What the hell is this?
Fucking hell.
Led a bit of a life still somehow, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Like, okay. So. That's interesting then.
Yeah, that was interesting. I didn't think we had that footage. We have that footage.
So we got a little bit of an idea into his life, you know, into the way.
Who dropped the gun, though?
God knows. What was it? Even definitely a gun? I don't know about that either, personally. Okay then. Where do we get to? Okay, so other hostage situations, and over time he would admit to taking 11 hostages across 9 incidents. There might be once too. This is what he admitted to. Then I guess.
Yeah.
Which included prison officers, prison governors, medical staff, and fellow incidents. Each incident resulted in prolonged standoffs, sometimes hours or days, caused prison lockdowns, and then, of course, added further sentences.
Right.
But then he still would go on, apparently, for temporary releases and immediate reoffending, which I reckon was still before that, what we saw just the boxing match. I reckon that was later.
Yeah.
So he released after serving time within months, committed another robbery.
Right.
Actually, maybe not, actually, mate. That could have been during his... That's probably while he was released then, because looking at the quality of that video we just saw, that probably would be 80s.
About the 80s, yeah. 90s, possibly. Sense, yeah. So he was released and then immediately did another robbery and then straight back to prison.
Within months. So that was just the one he got caught for, probably. 1992, he got released again and was rearrested. So he should start again, surely, from whenever he was last out. Surely,
there could have been
some, what do they call it when it's like suspended sentences or stuff, though, I guess.
I don't know.
Yeah, like, you don't always, if you get let out, like, and then, like, you reoffend or something, they'll be like, okay, well, that time we let you off before or something, that's getting whacked back on now, too.
Yeah.
You know, shit like that. You know, so there could be that for all of these.
So he was released in 1992 and rearrested in the same year.
Again.
Release and rearrest.
Within a week. Conspiracy to rob.
Right, okay.
And which means he probably did at least rob. They couldn't prove that he definitely was the one in there doing the robbing, but they could prove that he was arranging it.
Yeah.
So
Then returned to prison permanently from 1993 onwards.
Wow. So in the 90s, he would escalate to extreme violence.
Well, if he knows he's not getting out.
He probably wouldn't have known
he wouldn't have known that for sure.
So repeated assaults. During this period, he attacked prison officers. And this is like just to a higher level now.
Yeah.
Caused extensive cell damage. Smeared feces on walls during protest. Called a dirty protest.
Yeah, of course.
Frequently stripped naked during confrontations, which is one of the things I know him for best. Of just, you want to fucking have some? Throws his clothes off and just dick waddling around while attacking people. That's what most of the Tom Hardy film is.
Yeah, it reminds me of there's a bit in American Dad where someone goes back home to find that his wife's been banging his head, his barber, right? Right. And his barber comes down the stairs, literally buck-ass naked, and just goes, this ain't the first time I've fought naked, and just starts attacking people.
Man, it's a good tactic. If you're ever in a situation where you think, oh, I'm not going to get out of this, get naked.
Get naked. It's like, what are you going to fucking do to me now, motherfucker?
As I said before, well, if you're lucky enough...
If you punch a naked man, you're gay.
Yeah. And if you're lucky enough to have some dog poop with you in a bag, smear that on you too.
Yeah.
Go even further.
Yeah, that's poison damage.
Yeah, here you go. Yeah. A world is a Pokemon battle.
Yeah.
So these actions then would now eventually lead to regular removals by force via riot teams. And he would be transferred between high security prisons, I guess. Did something in one. They got sick of him, transferred him somewhere else.
Yeah.
Just be put into continuous segregation. And then 1999 to 2000, there was an incident that changed everything.
Okay.
He's probably the one that got him in probably for good, I reckon. This is the single most important event in explaining why Bronson received a life sentence.
Right.
Even though a life sentence doesn't normally mean life.
Right.
In the UK, anyway. It's like 15 years or some shit, I think, life sentence. Used to be 14, I know. He took prison education teacher hostage, held him for approximately 44 hours, threatened violence a lot, barricaded himself in the prison wing, him and the teacher, of course. Mm. And although the hostage survived, the court deemed that the psychological harm, the planning, and the prolonged duration led to a warrant for a discretionary life sentence.
Right.
Basically, I got rid of something there, probably by accident, but the psychological harm that it did to the guy, like, it fucked the guy up.
Yeah.
Like, you know, yes, he didn't kill him, and he didn't, like, beat him too much or anything, you know, it wasn't about the actual violence he did to him, just the guy was like a wreck afterwards, you know. Right. Which you could argue is like murder. You killed what that guy was. I know it's not, but
I don't think it's a life sentence.
No,
I don't think it's a life sentence. That seems a bit much. Hate to mostly on Bronson's side, but like that doesn't seem like a life sentence to me.
No, it doesn't really seem like a life sentence.
He hasn't killed the guy. If he did kill the guy, then yeah, I'd see your point, but that's...
It's about, I'm guessing, though, the repeated over and over.
I'm sure it's fucking horrible. I'm sure it was the worst 44 hours of that man's life. But there are people
on past ones have gone, in fact, it keeps going up.
No, I get it. But like...
But it didn't happen. He didn't go on to eventually kill people, so they were wrong.
Yeah.
Like, I guess that they might have thought that at the time. But they were wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I can't disagree either. 2000, life sentence, was sentenced to life imprisonment, despite the fact that, well, the key points, he had not committed murder at any point.
Mm.
The life sentence was imposed due to repeated hostage taking, severe institutional violence, and perceived inability to safely manage him in normal prison conditions.
Right.
Which doesn't make, that doesn't mean anything to me.
No. That just means that you're not doing your job well enough.
Yeah, yeah. So segregation and control units is where he spent most of the 2000s, include supervision centres, extreme isolation, small concrete cells.
You know what you should have done with this guy instead?
Mm?
You should have walked up to Bronson and you should have gone, here we are, son, right. It's a life sentence for you, or you go through the SAS training programme.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They used to do that kind of thing, didn't they?
They did.
Because I feel like he would be a fucking foreign candidate.
Yeah, if you put fucking Bronson in a fucking beret and fucking stormed him into the middle of Afghanistan, he'd come back with 1,000 fucking different dead people's fucking teeth. Just in rings around his neck.
Eventually as well. He'd probably stop doing war crimes, I reckon.
Yeah.
He might, you know, eventually.
Eventually, yeah.
Although, like I said, though, we'll get to it as well, but he does go on to clean up his act.
Yeah.
Like, this is, the, you know, I understand that at this point when we were talking about when he got the life sentence, that they might have thought, he's just going to go on and keep doing this. He's going to murder people over and over eventually.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I mean, the fact that he'd never actually killed someone was lost on me in the past.
That's
like,
mad.
It seems crazy, doesn't it?
It seems crazy to give someone a life sentence for not killing someone.
Mm-hmm. And even before that, he was in there for so long, but that was because, I suppose, because of the stuff he kept committing, like the different things.
Yeah.
So they just didn't want him to get the chance to go out again.
Yeah.
Is what it feels like. And obviously, back in this time, it was easier. There wouldn't be as much of an uprising about the internet.
Yeah,
and
people
stuff,
wouldn't like that much, yeah.
Like nowadays, you know, the closest thing we've had to this in recent times would be, to bring it up again, Tommy Robinson.
Yeah.
Similar kind of vibes I'm getting from the prison stuff, you know. Being...
seeing certain things is, yeah. Seeing prisoners somehow like perfectly normal and a fine environment that everyone should just act normally in. It's like, you know what I mean?
What?
Like the people are allowed, people should be allowed to defend themselves in prison to a certain extent. And things like that.
Oh yeah, yeah, you yeah. Know? I mean, they are.
Yeah,
that's not what he did though.
That's not what Bronson did.
Yeah, that's not what Bronson did. No. Like this. Or Robinson was different anyway. Robinson, I just more for the fact of like being like that they would just in back in the day throw someone in prison and just figure out ways to just keep them there and just keep them there. And that's
you're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
End of the day, Tommy Robinson, they kind of seem to want to do the same thing, but nowadays it gets brought up easier. People know about it. You know, it wouldn't be as easy to do it as much now. Where did we get to? Okay, so he claims he has spent over 30 years in solitary confinement cumulatively. But from that point, though, the violence would continue to rise as well at this point still.
Yeah.
Notable incidents include, so this is 2000s and then 2010s beginning, would just include assaults on guards during forced cell extractions. So every time people would come out to pull him out, he'd be, you know, he'd attack, be throwing furniture and appliances, including washing machines, apparently.
Okay.
Fucking hell. That's strength.
Yeah.
Fuck. And it makes sense as well, because like I said, later on, you think, how is he going to do all that? Like, how is he staying in this fit ability when he's a solitary confinement?
He's working out the entire time.
He would release a book later on.
Yeah.
Called, I think it was Solitary Fitness, all about how you can, you know, build, make yourself beefy and stronger shit just without having equipment, just in a block.
Yeah, using body weight.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That's like standard prison body like shit. Now, if you see someone who's jacked as shit from prison, that's why.
Yeah, that's the dream, man. As well,
they're just doing fucking push-ups and squats and fucking shit all day.
That's just the best shit anyway. Yeah. Like, push-ups are by far just some of the best things.
Oh yeah,
and pull-ups as well. There's always some way to pull up. No, normally I'd talk across just to like quiet it out. I think I wanted it to be heard then.
Oh, right.
I want them to hear you're ill.
Yeah.
Hear your illness.
I'm still got phlegmy, you know.
Okay, so he would also, not to be throwing shit, he'd be flooding cells all the time and doing self-harm protests. 2014, he would assault a prison governor.
Oh, God.
At HMP Woodhill. He attacked the prison governor, which resulted in serious injury, but once again, no deaths. It just keeps saying serious injury. I'd like to know what serious injury meant.
Yeah.
But I imagine they weren't good, to be honest. It couldn't, you know.
Yeah.
Led to further sentence extension, not surprising. Actually, you know what? I didn't realise that was only like 2014. It was only 12 years ago.
Yeah.
The amount of cumulative stuff from then would still be more than 12 years, in my opinion. Probably. So I'm actually kind of like, I kind of understand why you're still there.
Yeah, and serious injury could could be anything from a stab wound all the way up to a broken bone to a fucking...
life-changing.
To something truly life-changing, like a broken spine or something.
Broken spot, yeah. The incident became central evidence in later parole refusals.
Mm.
And with it only being 12 years since that, at this point now, you know what, I kind of get it, actually. I've kind of gone the other way again now.
Yeah.
I get it. Like, if he hasn't done, if he hasn't done anything since, then,
then
we can see.
Then that would have been, we could have talked. Yeah, but, like, if you're going to go and start fucking seriously injuring the fucking person who runs the goddamn prison, then maybe you're probably not a good fucking person to be around.
So he's now 74.
Yeah.
That's right, isn't it? 74 now, then.
74, yeah.
So he would have been 64 at this point. So he still could have been able to do some stuff. Like, now he's getting to the point then where he's maybe old enough that he could, you know. I surprised myself. I've kind of gone the other way now. Where I'm like, no, you know what? It's fair that he's still in there, I think.
Well, let's see. Because, like, a person can really change in 12 years.
Yeah, they can. Yeah. But they still got to serve the time for the shit they've just
true.
And this only happened in 2014.
Said that again, people have got out for good behaviour on less.
Yeah.
Or even on more, I should say.
Yeah. I don't think they'll let him have a good behaviour on anything though for this, because the way things
are. The way he's taking personally bad behaviour. Yeah.
It's also as well, like, you know, when like the police always go ham on somebody more when they attack a police officer.
If you kill a police officer, then you best be assured your days are numbered.
This is the thing. All these violent crimes are against prison staff and people, and do you know what I mean? That's going to make it worse to them. Okay, so 2014, the same year though, is when he actually changed his name to Salvador. He went from Charles Bronson to Charles Arthur Salvador after Salvador Dali. As he wished to be recognised as an artist rather than an inmate. I now suddenly have a different opinion on that after realising that was the same year he did that.
Yeah.
Other one. But, okay. He would go into more focusing on art and writing and fitness at this point. He produced paintings and drawings from prison, and his artwork has been sold and exhibited. But the proceeds donated to charity in some cases. I wouldn't be surprised if
they... I'm sure he gets a little bit.
Yeah. I'm sure they do anyway. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Still his work. Same with his writing, his autobiographies. I don't know. That part I could see them having an issue with, because it's going to be mainly about the crimes he committed against people in prison.
Yeah.
So I understand that maybe that might be a bit different. But there's also letters and essays on prison life too. His fitness, he developed extreme body weight routines in tiny cells, which he then used when he offered solitary fitness.
Honestly, I'd quite like to read that.
But it's probably a good read.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Good.
I'd like to have fucking, like, Charles Bronson body. You know, he looks like he could do some serious damage.
Fuck yeah.
As we fucking saw.
Yeah. Psychological profile, diagnosed with antisocial personality disorder.
So that explains a lot then.
Oh, it's not fucking surprising, is it? Did you really? I mean, he might have developed that anyway. That's the thing.
It's potentially possible, but like, especially in a prison situation where you've got to be on edge all the time and you can't trust anyone.
Yeah, and he put himself, like we said, into this. Like, he kind of, like, I think there was some disassociative in there.
Oh, there's got to be. Yeah, especially in that interview.
Yeah.
Let's go back to just talking about that interview for a bit. Because, like, the way he sort of looks around when he's talking, he's like, he's in the middle of the thing, he's like, they dropped me off at Luton. You know, he sort of looks that way and that way and then sort of purses his lips.
Like he's always...
Like, it's not even just that, it's sort of performative, but at the same time, he's also checking. You know, like, there's, like, a lot of stuff happening in that head at once. It's almost like him explaining what happened is the least important thing of about 20 different things he's paying attention to.
Yeah, I think you're saying completely, yeah.
It's
all about putting on that actor thing, the show, 100%.
But it's also, like, it's very, like, thought out, you know? It's a thought out intimidation.
It's a performative art, almost.
Yeah.
Which is interesting, because then he goes on to be the artist.
Yeah.
Like an angry performative art.
Yeah, so psychiatrist's note.
Yeah.
Institutionalization, identity fusion with prison conflict, difficulty functioning outside controlled environments.
I mean, they can say that, though, but he's not been outside of controlled environments for so long. It's kind of hard to tell.
Yeah.
And the only difficulty I think he had is that he kept robbing places, is what I've actually seen in this. That'd be the main
Old is he now again?
I know he said that. He literally was just talking about 74 now.
I mean, he's unlikely to get away with that many robberies at this point.
Maybe. Oh, now? Wow, some of those, you say that, man, some of those motorized scooters could be fast.
Yeah.
You get a gun and a scooter. Anyone could pull a gun as long as his hands are working. Yeah. Still, you know.
It just rolls into the local Ladbrokes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, to be fair, I know he's England anyway, so he shouldn't have guns as easy. So.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, he is Bronson.
He is Bronson.
If anyone's going to be able to get a gun in like a half an hour in East London.
Wait, he was in a fucking boxing match and one appeared for some reason. Yeah. What the hell?
He's like Mario. When he jumps on people, guns fall out instead of mushrooms.
That's what everybody says. To be fair, it's true. Like I said, I walked into a room once. Somebody wanted to show me something and it was just a room full of handguns.
Yeah.
In boxes, ready to be sold. I'm like, the fuck? I'm not comfortable here suddenly.
I wouldn't mind having a piece.
Ah, I'd prefer to call gun if I'm going to house something, but... So, repeated parole refusals. Parole boards have cited ongoing risk of violence as to why he's not been released. A history of sudden escalation. Difficulty managing anger under stress. Despite periods of improved behaviour, his past severity outweighs recent progress in assessments.
Right.
So they're like, I don't think it matters what you do. Like, as far as we're concerned...
You're still a madman.
You're a madman.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of get it. I sort of understand where they're coming from. Yeah, I mean, it's about what he is as a person... in the long run rather than what he is in the short term. And like, he's had years and years and years of being this kind of person. And then like later on, you have like, you know, a few years where he's just been a nice guy. But even in the same year that he sort of became this artistic, wonderful person, he was also, you know, hostage taking again. So like, It's a lovely change to see in a man when he decides to become an artist instead of an assaultist.
Yeah, I'm sure he's really nice to the people that he's nice to.
Yeah.
He's still in a high security prison to this day. In his 70s, claims to seek peace, artistic expression and a quiet life outside prison. He can definitely get
of
them.
He could probably sell some paintings and be all right, you know.
I think he's probably, with his name alone, he could...
Yeah.
Start a podcast. Just imagine the Bronson podcast.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
That'd be brilliant.
That would be great.
Just him fucking talking about his fucking life with like different people, like going, so what about that then? And he's like, oh, yeah. So what I did was I put his fucking arm down the toilet and I broke it using the fucking suction.
What?
You shagging, slam it down, you flush it, right? One. You flush it again. One. You stamp it down a few more times. You flush it again. And eventually it just like pulls the arm down. Dislocated it. I did. It was brilliant. You heard it pop.
Pop it out. Well, that is Charles Bronson in a nutshell right there for you.
That's a bit of Bronson for you.
His original sentence, 7 years, time served over 50 years because of stuff he does in prison. And apparently, they say that his case is an example of how prison environments can escalate violence, how identity and notoriety can trap individuals, and the long-term effects of extreme isolation.
Yeah, I mean, the isolation is definitely something that will have affected him, you know.
100%.
Because, like... You can't, hold someone away from social, situations for, months or years on end. And then expect them to act normally when you reintroduce them to a social situation.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, it doesn't work.
I don't think he'll ever be released. I mean, I say that, though, you know, when he gets older, if he, you know, gets to, I don't know, his 90s and that, and his mobility.
I mean, to be fair, the world's got wild enough. It wouldn't surprise me if this year fucking Bronson got released. You know what I mean?
Yeah, to be fair, you're not wrong there.
It's fucking wild out there at the moment.
Yeah, you're not wrong, actually. Yeah. I would not be shocked.
I can't remember who it was. Someone was talking about, like, you know, oh, it might have been one of the Joe Rogan ones where they're talking about, like, if this is a simulation, then, that like, the wildest shit would happen each time because it's interesting. You know, like, if it's a computer game or something, you're going to go for the most interesting option. You're always going to pick the most interesting option.
You say that
at the moment, the most interesting things happen all the time now. You know?
Yeah. No, it makes sense. It makes a lot of sense. I just hate that theory just because you can't really go against it. And it's also like, wouldn't it be... It's sort of like there's so many debates about it too, because I feel like it makes more sense that that would be like a me thing then. Like, to me, all of this would be my thing. That's extremely like small-minded. It's like you're assuming...
Oh, no. We're not... The simulation isn't for you. We're just in the simulation. We're just like...
You're more Matrix on the idea.
No, in that, it would be like an NPC. We'd be a coded character in a larger simulation.
You wouldn't be.
Yeah.
In your what? No, because you've got memories that you can't be a NPC because you are you.
How do you know? It depends on how deep the simulation goes.
I mean, you've got like the force and the size.
Yeah, but that can be simulated. We've got AI that simulates that.
Well, simulates it.
Yeah, but if you're an even more advanced.
Yeah,
like civilization.
I never looked at it that way.
Yeah, that's what simulation theory is. If you go even further out. Yeah, but that's the most the one that Elon's talking about is the one where it's like the whole universe is simulated. And it's not just for you, it's someone outside of it is watching the simulation to sort of see what happens in certain simulations.
Right. Okay,
and any culture that gets to a significant level of technology is capable of running their own simulated galaxy or universe or whatever.
Yeah. No,
so you can keep on like expanding like that. So like, how many layers deep into simulation do you go before it becomes impossible to make a simulation? And therefore, like, if it's thousands down, then you're more likely to be a simulation than not to be a simulation.
Yeah. It hurts my head, man.
Yeah.
Fucking hurts my head. Because you can't argue against it either. I didn't realise quite that he was trying to say essentially we're all NPCs.
Yeah.
That's because it's all... It could be even... Just
The entire universe is a simulation that someone on the outside of it is watching. Like a computer game.
Yeah. It's like, sure, okay, who can say that? Because I literally cannot say anything to say, well, no.
Yeah.
That's silly. Because there's no...
Futurama did a whole episode about it, where they were like, you know, oh, well, is it possible we could be in a simulation? And Dr. Farnsworth goes, no, of course not. In my simulation, I had to install a maximum speed for the entire simulation that prevents information going any faster so that the RAM doesn't get damaged. And it's like, what, you mean like the speed of light in our universe? And he goes, ah. I am right. I was right all along. We are in a simulation. But there's lots of things that do seem simulatory about it. You know, there's sort
about
of...
the world, you mean?
Not just the world, the universe, the galaxy, right. You know.
Oh, yeah, okay. When you say the world, I mean...
Yeah.
Okay, when I say, I meant like, yeah. Life.
Yeah, life in general. But, like, yeah, Earth is very specifically weird, like we've talked about before.
Yeah, it's super weird.
That's super weird. Having a moon that is exactly the right size to just block out the sun. Precisely.
It's another part why I dislike it so much, too, because I get a lot of it. To me, though, when I hear that, I think it's more like a reality show. If there's something, you know, like, it's like...
Well, that was the South Park idea, wasn't it?
Yeah. Like we're a zoo. They put us there for their entertainment. They're watching us. Nothing else can get to us, and they're keeping things away.
Yeah.
Little people get through every now and then. Our fans are winning, you know, like, the odd fan that gets into the ring in wrestling, you know.
On South Park, it was like, oh, yeah, you don't think that there's, you know, supposed to be multiple different species on one planet, did you? No. There's a planet of lions, and there's a planet of giraffes, and there's a planet of humans. And we took a load of all of them, stuck them together onto one planet, and saw what happens. And that's called Earth. Earth on Fungal. It does seem like it sometimes.
No, because of how, like we said, because of how perfect everything is. And, like, you know, I mean, just to, like, with the perfect example is the eclipse thing straight away.
Yeah.
The perfect.
And if we were living on a planet that didn't have that, and we just had like four or five little moons just spinning about us, like most fucking planets. And someone wrote a sci-fi story about a planet where the moon was exactly the right size to block out the sun every so many hundred years. You'd be like, that's just bullshit fiction, man. That's never going to happen.
I'd be like, oh, okay, so that's there. So he's trying to tell me that that can't happen naturally. So somebody's done that.
It's
you know, a little clue for what's going on.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
That's what that feels like.
Yeah.
Because it does, man.
It does. It feels like, so it's like in fucking, you know, Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
You know why the winter is so long in Game of Thrones?
Why?
Because they don't have a moon.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's in the actual lore as well. They don't have a moon, so the planet spins, but it doesn't have anything holding its axis. So sometimes it dips into the winter for an extended period of time, so the winter can last like 60 years.
I read so much into Game of Thrones, you know. I'd never actually even thought about that.
Yeah.
I was so into it at one point. There's a new series now, again, isn't
there? Yeah. There was a new movie as well.
I didn't know about
it. I think there was a movie, yeah.
I've seen anything. Actually, in the cinema.
Like an offshoot movie.
I've seen nothing about that. There's a new season just start. Or maybe it's a... No, it's a season that's just started. The Seven Kingdoms or Seven Knights or something like that.
Right.
What's just started. I need to get back into them because I still haven't... After Game of Thrones, I did plan eventually to watch that House of the Dragon, I think it was.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then, I don't know what's happened with that now, but they just started this new thing.
Oh, they were, they, yeah, there's multiple things in the offing.
I think, I think this is a prequel, the new one that started.
They're doing lots of prequels, yeah.
Yeah, because even Thingy's a prequel, to be fair. Like, it's just...
They love prequels now.
Well, they've
explained... Prequels are the new sequels. Why go forward when you can go back?
Yeah. They've explained, to be fair, so much of the lore.
Yeah.
It makes sense. I do get it. They need to go dive into it a bit deeper so that they can make it crap. How else are we going to do it?
Yeah. Right. Should we do some wrestling?
Oh, yes, sir.
Let's watch some wrestling.
Okay. I tell you what, I'm going to...
He needs to go for a urination, people.
Urination. Up to you if you want to actually...
But that has been Squishy Logic for this week. And that's been It's Wrestling Stupid as well.
Yeah.
So there you go.
We'll have some more next time for you. And yeah.
Yeah.
That stuff. More. We'll have a topic and we'll have some more Wrestling Stupid.
That was a very strange end. That felt like it was sort of rather... Like,
and I do not remember that going
you
on
went,
so long.
You came to that ending as quickly as they chopped through it a peepee.
I feel traumatized again from that Katie Vick thing.
Yes, it's horrible.
I do not remember it going on so long. I think people in general need to rewatch that because I think the wrestling world has forgotten how creepy that was.
Like honestly, that was a performance worthy of like a Hannibal Lecter movie. You know?
Better performance than he's ever done in any film that he was in.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Yeah,
Blade Trinity is all I can remember.
Yeah, that wasn't great. Worst of the Blade films.
Yeah, without a doubt.
The best Blade films, Blade 2. Second best Blade films, Blade 1. Third best Blade film, Blade Trinity.
Well, no, I do actually, to be fair though, I actually really enjoy Blade Trinity because of everything else other than Blade in it. Because there's hardly any Blade in it because he was a dick in that. Shooting that film, he never came out.
Yeah.
And because of that, there's a
lot
more Ryan Reynolds.
He's just high as fuck in his trailer.
There's a lot more Ryan Reynolds in that film.
Yeah.
And I was quite a fan still of Ryan Reynolds for that film.
Yeah. But anyway, that feels better. That's been Squishy Logic for this week.
It has indeed.
We hope we haven't traumatised you too much.
I hope they are.
Well, fair enough.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
Keep it squishy. Okay, you go.
Time to be logical?
No. Keep it squishy.
And next time be logical.
Just like we were then.
Yes.
That was very logical. Fuck you.
Oh.